Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Municipalities across Northumberland are already working hard to set budgets for 2026. For all the staff, it is a busy time. For residents, it is a time to keep an eye on what it all means for property taxes. With all the rising costs of groceries, gas, and other essentials, the pressure is on to keep any increases reasonable. Often, when cuts come, a favorite target is soft services like arts, culture, grants, and the like. But what about libraries? On today's show, Councillor Aaron Burkatt is going to talk about the budget pressures on the Coburg Public Library. He is the councillor assigned to sit on the library board. Coburg Public Library serves Coburg and multiple locations in Hamilton Township. Coburg's mayor, Lucas Cleveland, has set an overall target of a 3% increase using his strong mayor powers. He has set a 5% target for the overall budget. Burkatt will talk about the current level of service for both Coburg and Hamilton Township. He will also look at some of the impacts, plus he will give his position going into the budget deliberations. I'm so pleased to have with me today Coburg Councillor Aaron Burkatt, who is also a member of the Coburg Public Library Board. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you for having me, Robert.
Can you paint us a picture of the current state of Coburg Public Library?
So I think there's a lot of things going on at the Coburg Public Library. Whether it's this year, we're celebrating the 30 years at the current location, which is the C. Gordon King Center. So that's something that's obviously very important this year. There's lots of new things always happening. Library services aren't just books anymore. There's lots of things that people can access, whether it's video games, digital content, obviously computer service if you require it, just meeting space, you know, in general, if you want to just come down, you know, have a coffee, kind of sit in, you know, a facility that's very accessible to the public. So I think, you know, things have evolved over time. The library constantly gets more and more use, which I think is very important to, you know, see. And especially with the economy where we are today, you know, I feel we're going to see more people accessing, you know, free services and things that are accessible to everyone.
You were speaking about membership. I understand that it's up to nearly 10,800 members. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I at the end of July, we were sitting at about 10,854. My understanding, staff were just working on the reports for this board meeting, and Tammy was indicating to me that we're getting close to that 11,000 mark. So the increase is positive. That was one of our objectives this year, is to increase membership and awareness. We've been doing a lot of activities in the community to engage with members of the community and making sure that they sign up for library cards. The key thing with the library cards, which as far as stats go, they have to be renewed every 3 years, but those stats only include members that have used the card in the last 2 years. So if you haven't used the card for anything within the last 2 years, then your membership essentially lapses as far as our numbers and our stats.
I also understand, though, that there's nearly 1,000 new members so far in 2025.
Yeah, so like I said, the big thing for the board and the library, like the staff this year, were to figure out, you know, how we can get membership up. Obviously, like I said, engage with the public. So there, any chance the staff gets, whether it's at downtown events, the farmers market, you know, any other community involvement where we can be there with a booth, we're trying to make those contact points and essentially, you know, make sure people are aware that, hey, the library's free, you know, just sign up for a card, and obviously educate them on, you know, it's not just books anymore. There may be something else you want, whether it's using, you know, Libby, which is the e-readers and the e-magazines, or, you know, educating people on, hey, did you know you can take out, you know, video games for, you know, your kids? Because those are getting up there in price. And, you know, if somebody, you know, just wants to try something out, they're getting newer titles all the time. So I think that's, you know, how we're evolving and, you know, making it relevant in today's world.
That's really interesting, because it looks like when you look at the stats, the library is mainly used by adults and not a lot of young people or kids. Why is that?
I think it comes down to, you know, there's a lot of people that are using the, you know, for if it's research, you know, maybe they're coming to have a spot to, you know, professionals coming to, you know, just have a quiet spot to, you know, do their work. I think that's a key thing. As well, we've got some good programs as far as, you know, there's the, I think it's every week, there's a Boomers program on the Friday, where essentially there's a new topic every week. So I think, you know, there's some programming that are really geared to that. I think there's also some really good programming for, you know, kids and things like that. But I think it's hard to engage, you know, maybe the teenage demographic and things like that. And maybe that's like something that we can kind of look at on how we can maybe engage with those, like that set of group in the future.
Well, you know, when you think about it, digital resources seem to be the focus for people doing research these days. Are libraries becoming obsolete when it comes to young people and kids doing assignments?
So I think the thing at the end of the day that we've got to, and maybe people don't realize this, is there are computers at the library still that you can come and, you know, use for free. Printing services costs a small feed if you have to print something off. But I would say that a lot of, you know, younger people aren't necessarily printing the stuff today. And I think the problem around that is technology is so accessible to everyone now. I look at, you know, being in an industry of technology myself, you know, I look at 20 years ago to where we are today, and, you know, touch screens, tablets, like computers, like the Chromebooks, they're all very accessible to, you know, families and like a lot of the schools are providing these things because that's how they do their work. So I think that's always going to be a tough go with that. But I think we've got to kind of engage the youth and the young people to say, hey, there are other things other than, you know, screen time that, you know, you can get involved with. I know in maybe not the Coburg branch, but some of the other branches, because it's a specific thing to them, like the Bewdley, I've had a conversation with, like, it's in the arena in Bewdley. And essentially what happens is they go and do like the skating. There's like a tots skating. And then, you know, they come and have story time in the library. So I think it's trying to figure out how you can tie things together. So those are the more rural branches, obviously. But in Coburg, of course, because we're in town, you kind of can, you're not really, you're close to home and you're kind of doing the stuff. And then, you know, you're probably going home after that. So I think it's finding ways to, you know, make things interesting to that demographic. And there's also like some cool kits that you can check out. I think as well, like people got to, families can, you know, check out the Ontario Parks membership, which, you know, I don't know if everyone really realizes that. And I think that's a pretty costly thing to, you know, to get. And maybe it's just, you know, engaging with the parents and, you know, educating them on, hey, did you realize we can offer these services to, you know, your family?
I'd like to talk more now about the politics of this in Cobourg Council. Okay. I know that coming up, the use of the archives is going before council. Can you describe what the issue is there and what is the political decisions that need to be made around that?
As far as the archives go, it's always been the intent of the municipality to use that space for storage of our records. So that's really all I can comment on as far as that piece. It is a town-owned building, and essentially we need the store, like the town requires the storage for that. That's what's going to happen going forward.
But what about the other artifacts that are in there that are not related to the town? What's going to happen to those?
So a lot of the stuff like from the archives is going to the new archives building. So they will shift all their things over. Any of the records and things that like our staff feel need to stay in that space will be staying in that space. And that'd be more of a question to maybe have a conversation further with Mr. Brent Larmer. And what the intention is on that.
Will that impact the library itself and its ability to function or any of its uses or other impacts that we may not fully understand?
I would say as far as, you know, nothing's going to really change as far as the library. Like it's essentially we're taking, you know, we're currently not using that space right now. So essentially it's going to be emptied from the archives currently. And then, you know, municipal staff are going to, you know, bring their stuff in. So there's going to be no changes as far like as an impact to the current operation and how we function, I guess.
I know the budget talks are starting to get underway and there's a lot of talk about the budget for the library. Now, going back, there has been some talk at the board level about the expansion of the main library. Can you describe what is intended?
So I think it's always, we're always looking for the ability to expand, obviously, what that looks like, what the costs are associated with that. As the community grows, obviously, we've got to kind of, you know, look at those long-term, you know, plans. As of right now, there's no solid plan of, you know, this is where we're going to expand. This is how we're going to expand. But I think it's kind of just one of those conversations of, okay, here's something that should maybe be on our radar in the near future as obviously like the Cobourg East, you know, community grows out. So I think it's one of those things where the board just has to really keep that in the back of their mind because we want to remain relevant. And, you know, if it's a matter of we've grown our ability to serve the public in our current location, obviously there'd be discussions and that'd be discussions with the council and town staff and what that looks like in the long term.
How does that turn into a budget implication? I mean, does it have relevance in our current budget discussions coming up?
I would say it's more of a planning stage right now at the board level because there's there's not like an analysis done yet of, you know, do we require more space, you know, to accommodate the growth in the community. But I think it's good to have it on the radar as, you know, discussion points, and it will not impact the current, budget, because the current budget is essentially looking at, you know, maintaining the existing base of what we're servicing. And I believe there's still capacity as far as, you know, checkout services, you know, things like that within the library. I think that the hurdle we have sometimes is we've got a really good meeting space, you know, for larger groups, which is the Rotary Room. And I think that gets booked up pretty quickly and significantly, obviously, in the key times. So I think that's where there's a bit of a hurdle as far as, our ability to, you know, provide space for these groups. And staff are doing a good job right now of, you know, managing that and say, hey, are you, you know, here's some other options, you know, that you can kind of go to within town. You know, Venture 13 is an example of one of them, but obviously they refer them to, you know, other private organizations that are not necessarily town ones.
I also know at the board level, there's been a talk of expanding services in Hamilton as well. What's the status of those, and how might those impact Hamilton Township's budget?
So basically, we've done a pilot project this year in Cold Springs, which basically it's the Wednesday, like kind of evening time after school. It's just a small time frame, and basically this was a pilot project to see, you know, how it worked, you know, what people were looking for. So staff have engaged with, you know, the public as they come in, you know, are there better times, those kind of things. I do recall a conversation of, I think there was 40 people, like 40, you know, patrons coming through the one day, which is fantastic to see. Obviously it's servicing, you know, an area that, quite honestly, like if you have to drive into town, you know, it takes time and things like that. So to have that ability to utilize a space in Hamilton Township, such as the Cold Springs Hall, to provide that service, I think is very critical, you know, as we look at expansion and further, you know, addressing the needs in the rural areas. I think at the end of the day, though, because it was a pilot project, going forward, there's budget costs, you know, as far as staffing, because currently right now we were using management staff to do the pilot. So obviously when we're looking at, you know, union staff going out there and, you know, continuing and what that looks like, Hamilton Township will have to make a decision on, you know, what they want to fund that and what's the costs associated with that. So that's going to be a difficult conversation, obviously, for that council. But I think, you know, for me as somebody sitting on the board, I think that's encouraging that, you know, we gave it a try. This is what, you know, the costs are associated with it. And, you know, hopefully they make a decision that, you know, is beneficial to, you know, obviously their residents.
What is the status of the memorandum of understanding between the library and the town at the moment?
So currently right now, there's discussions back and forth between the town and the library board. There's a small committee, myself, the chair, and Tammy, the CAO, on the committee. We've looped in one other member from the board for their expertise on some items within the MOU. But right now, like I said, it's discussions going back and forth. We'll be sending it back to the town. And then obviously, if there's anything that needs to be worked on, they'll send it back to our board.
Are there any big changes between the previous memorandum of understanding and the current one?
There will be some changes. I won't speak to what those changes are because, like I said, we're still negotiating those on how and how they're going to be, implemented going forward.
Can you at least say generally whether there's going to be an impact on services?
My hope through the conversations with the town staff and the board is we can come to the most mutual beneficial answer to where the town and where the library are moving, in the future, essentially.
How would you describe the differences between the two? I mean, is there a big gap? Is the town asking for a lot, or?
I would say the town isn't asking for a lot. It's just, we're trying to realign, the town resources, because as things grow within the municipality and, with anything, we've got to adapt on, what's best for all organizations, moving forward, to making sure we're delivering services appropriately, both on the town side and the library side.
KPMG did an audit recently. Can you tell us about that?
So, you're talking about the financial audit?
Yeah.
Okay. So, basically, every year, as the town, KPMG does financial audits. So, it's just to make sure that we're doing everything right. As far as like the financials and making sure that there's nothing, out of line. So this is typical in any organization, obviously. And they're just making sure that we're not doing anything, obviously that's inappropriate or and that everything lines up in the way it should. So it's always difficult thing, when you're going through the audit process, because there's lots of, back and forth, and but obviously there's nothing out of the abnormal that that the library is, doing.
What is the fiscal picture for the library currently?
Sorry, what was the question?
I'm sorry. What is the fiscal picture for the library currently?
We're in a good position as far as the board and the library staff are working towards, making sure we're delivering the services required for the community. Obviously, when it comes to financials and where we sit, with every, business or organization, everyone's dealing with, obviously, inflationary costs, tariff costs is, coming into play in some aspects. So with rising costs of everything, obviously we're just trying to manage, where we are long-term and making sure that we're still delivering the service that, the residents come to expect.
You mentioned tariffs. Could you explain how tariffs are impacting the library?
So the tariffs, the one thing that really affects, would be our collection. Because obviously if we're buying physical, books and, anything like that, depending on where they're manufactured and how they're distributed, it is ultimately going to affect, as anything, as well as, if you're talking about when we were getting things for example, the new shelving and things like that, which you don't have to necessarily get a lot because it lasts a long time. But when we were doing the cold spring, that there was a concern of, deliveries and, what those costs are of of those items. So, you know, long term, you know, if we're looking at any kind of items where we have to, you know, put new shelving in, or you know, furniture stuff, that can obviously be affected. But ultimately, it comes down to the collections, which obviously, if the collection is affected, then it ultimately affects, you know, what we're providing to the public.
Are you on target to meet the 2025 budget?
Yes, staff actually. If you go to any of our board meetings or you see the agendas, staff provide our monthly updated financials and where we sit. Obviously, there's some stuff that are, you know, a little higher, a little lower, depending on where it has to get paid throughout the year. But as far as where we stand, we will be within the budget that we were provided, which is always, you know, a positive thing. But it can obviously be stressful at times when you're, you know, going through the years and you see, okay, why did this spike up? And, you know, the staff have done a very good job of, you know, making sure the board's aware. Yeah, that's, you know, not out of the ordinary. It's, you know, we're on target with that. Or for example, sometimes it looks like we might be a little under, but it's like, don't worry. That's actually going to get absorbed up a little later, kind of thing. So I can appreciate the staff and the stats and the monthly reports that we get on the budgets, because it gives the board a very good picture of where we're standing and, you know, if any adjustments have to be made, essentially.
Going into the negotiations for the 2026 budget, what is the status of those talks now?
The status is basically the board has directed the staff to go back, present a budget to us with the 3% target, and you know, what that looks like for the board to make a decision to ultimately send so we will send it to the finance department. Mr. Adam Giddings will be sending it to him, and then he will obviously distribute it to whether it's the mayor's task force or the mayor directly. I'm not sure where that goes from there.
Where did the 3% come from?
So that was the directive from the mayor. You know, just here's the target I would like, up to 3% is the target I would like you got the library to hit. So, like I said, we've got that direction, and the board has obviously, you know, directed the staff to, you know, try to hit that target.
What's your reaction to a 3% increase in the budget? Is that reasonable?
I would say it, at the end of the day, it gives us, you know, as a board to kind of look at where we're standing, what a 3%, you know, looks like. So ultimately we can go back and, you know, assess, you know, where we're at, what we need to do to achieve that. And, you know, if it's not achievable, what adjustments do we have to make to, you know, the budget to hit that target, and maybe have those conversations with the task force or the mayor of this is what the 3% looks like. But it would be, you know, nice if we could, you know, maybe get a little more if possible.
But what about its impact on services? I mean, is this going to have a direct impact on the ability of the library to deliver all the things that you and I just spoke about?
I think it's going to obviously be a tough, there'll be tough conversations had at the board level once the draft budget comes back to us. Without seeing those, you know, exact, you know, numbers and where we sit and how that's made up to hit the 3% target, I can't really comment on, you know, what those impacts are going to be. But I know the staff will highlight where the impacts will be. And, you know, if there's potentially ways that we can kind of, you know, mitigate those, you know, is a collection smaller? Is there other ways we can, you know, expand the collection without going to the tax base?
But how realistic is that? I mean, I understand that the union at the library, CUPE, is in negotiations. Mm-hmm. We just talked about inflation, 3%. You know, that might be a stat that somebody puts out there. But how realistic is that to the library itself? And, you know, you were talking about tariffs and other pressures. And you've got a rising membership. Plus, you have expansion within the town that you just talked about, where more people will be looking for services. Is 3% realistic?
I think the way that we can look at this, you know, from a numbers perspective, you know, if you look at the 2025 budget and you add 3% to the, and I'm just talking about, you know, so if you add 3% to the Coburg budget, it works out to be just over $36,000, what a 3% increase to the Coburg budget. If you add 3% to the Hamilton Township budget, like what we're asking from them, it's almost 11,000. Okay. And the thing I think we got to look at is if you look at our salaries, from 2025, obviously, and if you look at, you know, a 3% increase to salaries, you know, at the upper level, that was the last 3% was in the last negotiation of the QP negotiation. So it was like 3 in 2022, 2023 and 2024. So if you look at what a 3% increase is on salaries alone, it's 32,000, you know, OMERS is about 3,000, and, you know, employee benefits is about 1,500. So if you look at, you know, those numbers, and like I said, the increase to like a 3% increase to the Hamilton Township and the Coburg budget, just as it was in 2025, you know, we're very close, like just in, you know, in wages. And we're not even considering, you know, collection increases and other services, you know, increased.
The picture you've just painted is not very clear. I appreciate when you talk about salaries, but is that going to eat up the 3% and then there's no money left for anything else?
Yeah. So like, if you look at like, so like I said, when you, so if you look at the two, you're sitting at about like 47,000, okay, roughly in salary, like, so that the both the town of Coburg and Hamilton Township on their last year's 2025 budget, if you do an increase on that, it works out to be about 47,000. And then, like I said, if you just take an increase of 3% on essentially the salaries, that's sitting at about, you know, about 35. So really, you know, if you look at a 3% increase, you're sitting at, you know, without taking in, you know, utilities and collections and the other items, just in salaries alone, you know, you have about, you know, $12,000 to play with. So it's going to impact, obviously, those other items.
How do you feel about that?
At the end of the day, I feel, you know, the board has to make the decision, you know, to present the budget that we feel is meeting the mandate, as well as what we're still able to provide, you know, the operational component. And obviously the operational component, which is huge, is having the library open with staff.
But how do you feel about that?
Well, obviously, I feel that, you know, at the end of the day, I'm gonna, you know, do my best to work, you know, as a member of the board, as well as a member of council. And obviously, if, you know, I feel that, you know, my feeling is it's an important service to the community. And if the board comes, you know, if ultimately a library comes and says, you know, we can do 3%, but, you know, it's not going to be to the same service level that we're currently offering. Obviously, I have a little bit of a problem with that. But obviously, I've got to look at the end of the day, what the overall budget looks like, you know, as a whole in the municipality.
Are you prepared to be a champion for the library?
I think at the end of the day, I've always tried to be champions for, you know, a lot of different things, you know, and obviously, you know, I will attempt to, you know, go to bat for, you know, the library if I need to, and it makes, you know, financial sense, to make sure we're delivering the service that, you know, ultimately the public requires and wants. And, you know, ultimately I have to look at other things within the municipality as well. Like, are we, you know, meeting those other budget requirements in the other departments? And like I said, I haven't seen the overall budget, but I think it's critical to see what that budget looks like, as well as, you know, the library's budget.
Do you worry about the budget process, though, this budget getting lost, or certain aspects of this budget getting lost in the fact that it's got to go up to this task force that's going to go through it, and then it has to go through staff, and then it, you know, comes out to council? Is there some concern that it's just such a convoluted process that it may end up that there could be cuts made rather than meeting the 3% target, or some other aberration because of the process?
No, at the end of the day, I think I've been serving on council since 2016, and, you know, I've been in different, you know, budget discussions and approaches on how we've done the budget, you know, whether it's line by line, or, you know, we've had meetings and then, you know, the budget, you know, with our departments, the budgets come out in the first term. And I think at the end of the day, you know, moving through the task force, you know, and then coming out to the public with this is where the budget sits. I still think council has the ability to, you know, advocate, you know, to make sure that we're providing what, you know, the council as a whole feels the community deserves, you know, as far as making sure that ultimately that we're providing a fair tax, you know, increase for what services we're providing, as well as, you know, making sure that we're providing the services that the residents, you know, want and, you know, enjoy.
What's your read of council, of your fellow politicians around the table?
I would say, you know, in any council, you're always going to, you know, disagree on certain items. You know, you're always going to sometimes come together. But I think at the end of the day, you know, the council as a whole, you know, and my fellow councilors, we just want to make sure that we're, you know, moving the municipality forward and, you know, making sure that we're being accountable to, you know, the residents and at the same time, making sure that they're getting the services that they want.
What's your sense of the public's mood on this issue when it comes to the library and funding and services?
I think at the end of the day, what I really like about Coburg is if there's issues, you know, dealing with services or items within the municipality, they're going to come out, you know, with their support or, you know, opposition. And we've got a lot of passionate people within the community. And I think at the end of the day, they're going to come out and, you know, present their case on why, you know, things need to be funded or not funded, or done, you know, to make sure that Coburg's moving forward. And, you know, we're also still protecting, you know, a lot of the core values.
Aaron Burkhardt, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you for having me.
That was Coburg Councillor Aaron Burkhardt. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.